Timothy, the theme verse, of course, have to be related to fight a good battle, right? Chapter 1, verse 18. Theme verse is chapter 1, verse 18. Next. To fight a good war, to fight a good battle. Paul told Timothy, you are here to work for God because God has chosen you through prophecy. Now Paul said, you will know in the future you will work for God. Really, this is a prophecy fulfilled. So he really started to work for God. So, how to fight a good battle? Of course, there's another verse at the end also remind him to fight a good battle. Chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. Next. Okay, once again, for the truth, you fight a good battle. You were called for this reason, and many people testify for you. So today, not only a full-time worker should fight a good battle. Every one of you should fight a good battle. Because we are fighting one huge battle collectively. It's not only preacher fight the gospel battle. Right? Of course, we are in the front line. But you are in a supporting role. And then maybe in the future, you move up to the front line. No, our battle doesn't consist of the front soldier. The whole country, the whole nation is at war. Everybody have to be involved. So you have your own battle to fight. You may not be going to Africa or India to preach, but you can preach in your local church. You can help in the church work. So you have your own battle. So think about 1 Timothy is to fight a good battle. And if you lose the battle, what happened? You will not have eternal life. This battle is life and death. Battle is always life and death. If you cannot survive, you get killed. That's it. Right. Not only you have to win the battle, but you have to survive it, not get killed. So this is very important. We have to fight a good battle. So in this book, of course, there are a lot of practical instruction and teaching, but just like to pinpoint some characteristic for a good worker who can fight a good battle. How we can fight a good battle. Just sum up for you to take reference. The first one. In order to fight a good battle, we have to have love in our heart. Love is number one. Love is the greatest of all. Chapter 1, verse 5. Next. Okay. Here tell us the summary of all the commandment of instruction is love. So without love, things will go wrong. Why some worker, they go wrong direction? Because in their heart, they are lacking of love. They cannot fight a battle, they cannot win a battle, because in their heart, they were not doing things because of love. They are motivated by other motives. Remember, brother and sister, if you work for God, if your motivation is other than love, then you are in the wrong direction. If you want people to recognize you, if you want people to praise you, if you want people to give you benefits, if you want people to support you, to give you self-esteem, it's wrong. So all the things that we do, the motivation, and the only motivation can be love. Love for God and love for brothers and sisters. Because in the church, everybody is serving God as a volunteer. Even we serving God as a volunteer, even full-time minister serving God for volunteer. We could have to go to other places to work, even though we receive allowance. But we also, out of our heart, to sacrifice. We could go to other places to earn more money. But why do we do what we are doing here now? Because of love for God, love for Lord Jesus Christ. So this love has to become this. Okay, in verse 5, underline verse 5 is a very good verse. Love should have three things to support. Love is not like telling you, I love you every day for 10 times. Right? It's fake. Love has three supports, just like a tripod. You need three legs at least to support a tripod. So what is this three? First, love must come from what? Pure heart. If your heart is not pure, if you have other motive or evil desire in your heart, it's not true love. It's not real love. Love has to be without sin. The heart must be pure. Love does not love shameful things. Love does no evil. So love has to be from pure heart. So ask yourself, do I have a pure heart when I do certain things for God? Right? Heart must be pure. Only those who have pure heart can see God. Secondly, love must be from what? Clear conscience. Everything that we do, we have to check, do I have a clear conscience? What does it mean, clear conscience? This means, will your heart rebuke you for certain things that you do? Do you have clear conscience? Other people may say this and that, but can you sleep at night? Will your heart blame you? Will the Holy Spirit blame you inside? If your heart will blame you, that means you're not doing the right thing. Because God has given us this conscience, and with the effect of the Holy Spirit, this conscience is like a lamp shining bright. Anything wrong will be revealed. So ask yourself, I do this, do I have clear conscience? Yes, maybe people misunderstand me because I do it, because I do the right thing. Sometimes as a preacher, I have to talk to members. I have to not only encourage them, but I have to correct them. I have to warn them. And sometimes people hate me because I warn them. Right? Of course, if you talk nice to them, if you just say nothing, right? Oh, you're good. Of course, they treat you dinner, treat you nice, give you a gift, right? But of course, when you tell them you're wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, because they're angry. They don't happy. Right? There's a few times I know before I talk to that person, he'll hate me. But my job is not to please you. I always tell myself, my job is not to make you happy. Sorry. My job is to make you happy, you get me wrong. My job is not to make you happy. My job is make God happy. You should write it down too, right? In the future, you do work in church. Your job is to please God, not to please men. When you please God always, your conscience is always clear. I don't care whether people like me or not. If I do the right thing, you don't like me, that is your problem. But of course, I try to be gentle and humble, right? But sometimes right is right, wrong is wrong. You have to do what is right. So clear conscience. Love also have to be from a sincere faith. We call it the roots of love. Sincere faith. Right? If you don't have the sincere faith of God, all the love that we are talking about is empty. Love have to be related to God and the truth. If you do things not according to the truth, even though you treat me very nicely, you buy me dinner, you help me to do a lot of personal things. But if your faith to God is not correct, this is not true love. Right? You can be very nice to me, but just because you want me to support what you're doing. But what you're doing is not according to the truth. Then what you're doing to me is not love. It's wrong. So love have these three roots, and love can stand. So worker have to have the true love from Lord Jesus Christ. Only with this love you can fight a good fight. Secondly, good worker who fight a good fight must be faithful. Verse 12. Verse 12. A boss asks for a worker or employee, the most important thing is faithful. The boss doesn't always look for the smartest person to hire. You can hire a very smart person, very highly educated. But if the person is too smart, coming to the company, always thinking about what? how to pocket himself, how to steal the customer, establish his own company in the future. Then the boss will know, and this man is not faithful. Even though he is very smart, I cannot use him. I must fire him right away because he is not thinking about the boss' business, but is thinking about his own business, his own gain. So faithfulness is one of the most fundamental character that God is looking for in the character of his worker. You may be very smart, but if you are not faithful, God cannot use you. So we have to be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? There's a certain aspect. First, being faithful means always think about the interests of the kingdom of God, the interests of the church, more than your own interests. If you think about your own interest, you're not faithful. You always think about how can you take advantage of the church when you do work. You're not faithful. God knows what you are doing. Right. But rather, if you're thinking about church, the interest of the church. For example, in the future, if you have financial affair, or you're taking care of the money, right? You can put the money in different places, different banks, they earn different interest. If you think, I don't really care because it's not my money anyway, just any bank will work. You're not faithful. But if you think about, okay, I'll check 10 banks, talk to the manager, see which bank has the best interest, even though it's half a point difference, but it still make a difference. You try to do it because the church can have great gain. Good for the church, even though it's not good for me, but it's good for the church, let's do it. So that's faithful. Secondly, faithful also means you complete your task according assigned to you. You at least complete the task. This is called faithful. If the church assigns you to do something, you must do it. You must not forget about it. Don't forget about the task. Do it. And not only complete it, but also do it with all your heart. 尽力地去做. Don't just do a lousy job. You know, for example, the church tells you to wash the toilet. I don't even wash toilet in my own house. You tell me to wash toilet? Come on. Okay, wash it. Just pour the water. And then, okay, I wash it already. Let it dry by itself. All right, because I don't want to touch the stinky, so filthy toilet, right? Because in my home, I don't even touch the toilet. Right? You're not faithful if you do this, right? Even though a person faithful, you look at how he did the small things. Okay, sister, you look for a husband in the future. Look at the brother, how they brush the toilet. Or wash up, do the humble job, or throw the garbage. If those who are always trying to push away dirty jobs, heavy jobs, this kind of brother, no use, right? You can forget about him. But you see the brother always volunteering. Who want to do the garbage? Yes, I can do it. Yeah. Who want to, this toilet is the dirtiest, who want to do it? Yes, I can do it. Those kind of brother you can marry. Want to give me a lemon tea? Yes, I can bring the lemon. Good potential. Yeah, it's true, right? If the brother who like to do the things that no one want to do, that's a good brother. There's a potential inside. Potential doesn't mean, I want to come here and stand and talk big. No, people look at me. Those kind of are not real stuff. You look at the person from small aspect. So that's why Jesus, if you're faithful in small things, you'll be faithful in big things. So it's true. Brother is the same thing. When you choose a sister in the future, don't just look at how much makeup, what kind of clothes you wear. Think about how she do work. Wow, it's always helping in the kitchen. Always helping the mom in the kitchen, helping serving in the church. They are good sister, right? Look at what? Look at when the old servant looking for a wife for Isaac. What was he looking? What's the sign? He prayed to God. What? He didn't pray to God. God, show me the most beautiful one. I'll take it at home. What did he pray? The woman will come, give me drink, and also what? Feed all my camel. You know, camel drink a lot of water. They drink tons of water. In order to feed the camel, they're so hardworking. And God heard his prayer. She saw a faithful woman, hardworking woman. So being faithful is very important. More important than being very smart. Being very smart doesn't matter in God's kingdom. If you're not smart enough, if you're not wise, it's not clever, it doesn't matter. God can help you. God can make it up for you. But if you are very smart, but you are very lazy, no use. God will dispose you. This kind of person, no use in God's kingdom. So, thirdly, we must have faith. Chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. Faith is very important and a very sincere and blameless conscience. Faith and conscience is also related, because after you have the true faith, your conscience will become brighter. But some worker, here mentioned about two names. These two workers, they were workers, but they have forsaken their conscience and they have forsaken their faith, and they were used by Satan. Paul doesn't even say rescue them or pray for them, right? What did Paul say? This kind of person have no use anymore. What did Paul say? Hand it to what? Hand it to Satan. Just like this one, no ink anymore. Throw it to the garbage bin. 丢了，没用了. Paul did not say, oh, let's pray for him and maybe he will come back. No, they will not come back. No, they are blasphemer. They are accusing, they are wrongly accusing people, wrongly accusing church worker, even more wrongly accuse the church. Will they change? Will they change now? No. Don't be so naive that all sinners will change. You know, when a person commits sin up to a certain point, it's called pawn of no return, right? If going down represents going to sin, there is a pawn of no return. Just like Judas, the moment he decided he wanted to sell Jesus, he has this thought. Jesus tried to change him, right? Give him the foot washing, holy communion, dip the food, dip the bread, and give it to him to eat. But he didn't change. He didn't correct his behavior. He was reminded, but he didn't want to change. So after he ate the bread, all the way, he went out and saw Jesus. So this is called pawn of no return. When you commit sin, at the beginning you may feel bad, right? You may feel bad. You may feel a little bit guilty. But when you reach this point, if you still don't change, Holy Spirit crying for you, remind you, if you still don't change, then you reach a point of no return. This means nobody will wake you up. Even you yourself will not wake up. So Paul did not say pray for them. Paul say what? Give them to whom? Just like a packing into the bin, recycle. Just like, you know, no garbage. Every week the garbage people come to collect garbage, right? All the bio waste, dirty them. Put it in the garbage bin, delivery. 交给撒旦, 这种人不用为他祷告. This kind of people, you just hand it to Satan, right? Let God deal with it. Let Satan, because he belongs to Satan. So be careful. We don't become that kind of bad worker, but we are the good worker. Very important. So we must not lose faith. Here, compare losing the true and sincere faith to have a shipwreck. What is a shipwreck? 船破了. When a vessel have a hole. Do you know why Titanic sink? Right? Because what? Titanic, right? You know Titanic? Watch the movie, right? My heart will go on, right? My wife watched it 10 times. I said, why? Why? How can you watch it 10 times? So boring. I said, oh, so romantic. Oh. But of course, Titanic, the story is, hit the iceberg, the ship wrecked. The hole, the water came in, and only a matter of time that the ship sank. In our faith, if you allow your faith to have some hole, some doubt, some discontent about the church, write down discontent about the church is very dangerous. 对教会的不满很危险. If you have discontent about the church, discontent about the organization, discontent about church worker, be careful, that can be your hole. If you're always not happy about church, people, or organization, Therefore, we use this as a hole, and the water will come in. Because you have complaint, you have bitterness in the church. Right? Look at all those who are being affected in the wrong teaching or division in the church. They always have discontent in the church. So don't allow this discontent harvest in your church, in your thinking. No matter what happened, the church is my home. Okay, tell yourself, no matter what happened, church is my family. Family has problem, but I still stay in my family. Which one of you, your family, doesn't have problem at all? Tell me. Anyone? Who is a perfect family, not yet any problem, no any issues? Anyone? I don't think so, right? Because we're a human being. Every family has some issues. But do you leave your family? Do you throw away your family? No. You still stay in your family. So, don't let this kind of doubt or discontentment in the church to become whole. If you allow this water to come in, your ship will wreck, you lose your faith. And when you lose your faith to God, to the true church, nobody can help you anymore. Really, it's already happening in our church sometimes. Right. So, we should have faith. And then, chapter 2, verse 1. Next. A worker of God must pray a lot. A worker of God. How can he fight a good fight? It's not by himself, but by prayer. Don't think that by flesh and blood we can achieve anything. If you think by using your own might you can do anything for God, you are the most naive person in the whole world. Because we are fighting the enemy not of flesh and blood, but the spiritual enemy. The devil. How can we fight the devil, right? You can, no way you can fight the devil. Our strength. How strong can you be, right? You sit here, 8, 4 lessons in a row, you already feel tired already. Right? 8 lessons, whole day, while at night you lie down, you're like almost dying. Right? How can you have strength to fight the devil? Devil is the invisible power, the principality. How can you fight him? No way. Unless you really to willing to knee down and pray. And God will start to work. So Paul told Timothy, if you want to learn how to work, learn how to pray. If you know how to pray, you know how to work. That's it, as simple as it. So if you're teaching IE classes, pray for your children every single day. If you're playing piano for the church, pray for your piano playing every day, ask God to improve you. If you do translating, anything, pray that God will give you the strength. Wow, it's very important. Another point about a worker who can fight a good fight. He must be rooted in the truth. He must be very rooted in the truth. Chapter 1 verse 3 first. Chapter 1 verse 3. Paul tell Timothy. Timothy was in Ephesus. In Ephesus, some church member they preach another doctrine. That means not the doctrine commonly believed by the church. So Timothy must be able to be bold enough, brave enough, and scriptural, well-versed enough to tell them, stop doing it. What you do is wrong. So being a worker, the most important thing is you must be rooted and strong in the faith. You must know what is right according to the God's word and what is wrong. How it is wrong. Don't just think, oh, what you say is good, right? No. Or afraid of people, or afraid of rebuking them. You must tell them, no, stop preaching it. What you're saying is wrong. This is very important. So that's why Paul emphasized about the truth. Chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. to 16. Yeah. 14, 15, 16. Is it clear? So 14:15 is to talk about the church of God, verse 15, is the pillar of the truth and foundation. So true church doesn't have money, doesn't have too much manpower. We don't rely on the worldly success. We rely on the truth. So this is our foundation. If our truth is not there, then we have no foundation. So true church, foundation is the truth. So the worker must be rooted in the truth. So if this generation, your generation, can be rooted in the truth, then in the future, our true church have development. You know, our parents come from Hong Kong or other places. No, they were very broke when they come. I don't know whether they tell the story, right? Did your parent ever tell you when they come to UK how poor they were? Right? Some of your granny, your grandparent. I heard that one old preacher tell me, when he was young, he and his father only share one pair of trousers. When they were in Hong Kong, that island, when one of them had to go to the town to get something, he wear the trousers. The other one had to stay home because he didn't have the trousers. Of course, he have some maybe shorts or boxer, not even boxer, just very ugly trousers. But when the son have to go to the town, then the father cannot go on that day because they only have one pair of nice trousers. Is that poor? They live in the boat, they eat in the boat, cook in the boat, do toilet in the boat, everything in the boat. They're so poor. But they have the truth. They have the Holy Spirit. So that's when they come to UK, they can establish the church, the true church. Now your generation, you have everything. You have education, you live in a good environment, your parents now give you a comfortable life. But if we do not uphold the truth, we can do nothing. So we have to learn, the most important is uphold the truth in this generation. Continue passing on. So verse 16 is very good. Let's read it again. Bianca, read verse 16 again. Underline this 16. It's called the mystery of the holiness. Mystery of the holiness. Verse 16. Mystery of godliness, huh? Yes, continue. Okay. Now, this verse can summarize the whole New Testament. Actually, put a big star here. Right. This verse can summarize the whole Testament. Huh? First of all, okay, what? Bianca again. The God manifest in flesh, is it? Manifest in the flesh. Which book, which verse tell us God manifest in flesh? John? 1 verse 14, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke talk about the same thing. Okay, secondly, please, Bianca, continue. Justified by the Spirit. Of course, Holy Spirit justified. This means he proved Lord Jesus Christ. Which book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit? The book of Acts, right? Yeah, the book of Acts. Wow. Talk about how the Holy Spirit worked and proved to the Gentiles or the Jews that Jesus Christ is the one, is the righteous one. And then continue. Seen by the angels. And of course, when he resurrected, every angel see it. Even the heavenly realm. Even the heavenly angels see Jesus. They have to worship Jesus. Which book tells us Jesus is more superior? Jesus is supreme. Jesus is uphold. Which is uphold? Colossians, right? Jesus is the highest one. Even angels saw Jesus resurrect. Even angels did not resurrect themselves. But Jesus, only Jesus resurrected. And then what else? Preach among Gentiles. Which book talk about Jesus preach among Gentiles? And of course, the book of Acts. And the letters written by Paul circling around the Gentiles' land. All the letters addressed so far we have studied are addressing the Gentile churches. And then? Believe on the world. So not only now, in the future, all the prophecies saying that the gospel will preach to the end of the world. Right? Which Bible verses tell us the gospel will first? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. Which Bible verse? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Lastly, receive in glory. This is eschatology. Eschatology, Jesus will receive in glory. Which book tell us Jesus come again will be receiving glory? First and Second Thessalonians, right? Of course, there are some book following. Revelation talks about the end time. So, Paul, revealed by the Holy Spirit, you have to memorize this verse. This is the memorizing verse, have to be in your test, okay? And you have to be able to explain how this verse related to all the different books in the New Testament. So this is in the exam test, yeah? This is the exam question, okay? Yeah, memorize this verse, you have to memorize and explain. This is a very wonderful word. This one Paul said, wow, 大灾, huh? And what did he say in English? Verse 16. 大灾金钱的奥秘. He said, at what? 16. How did he describe? How controversial? Without controversial. Okay. Without controversial. This is so wonderful. Without controversial. So grand. So great. Then he moved by the Holy Spirit to say this. Okay, and then another work, another characters of workers who can fight a good fight. It must be hardworking and focused. Chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. Next. Okay, verse 15 tells us you have to be hardworking and diligent to do all this and focus. Now, young people, our shortcoming is we have passion for a short period of time, but sometimes we cannot endure and we cannot focus on what we are doing. That is our weakness. Especially nowadays, all the gadgets will really train us to be multitasking, right? What does it mean multitasking? Multitasking doesn't mean you're not focused on anything. You're not doing many things together. Your mind is not totally focused. But Paul tells us, if you want to be a good fight for the Lord, you have to focus on what you're doing. Don't give up. Prove yourself. 要叫别人看出你的长进来. Show people that you have improved. I really like this verse as a young person. Verse 15. Show people you have grown up. Don't just tell your mom, Mom, I'm grown up already. Why you talk to me like a kid? Right? How many of you still think your mom and dad still talk to you like a kid sometimes? Sometimes, right? You don't want them to treat you as a kid, right? But at the same time, you have to prove to them, I'm not a kid anymore. No, I can take responsibility. I'll take care of myself. Well, I can do things for you. I can help the family. But you're just behaving like a child and you expect your mom and dad treat you like an adult. That will not work. So the church is the same. You want the church feel that, okay, you are grown up, I can give you more tasks. Show yourself. Prove yourself. Prove yourself, I'm improved. I'm grown up. So it's very important. And then, let's read verse chapter 5. A worker also must not have favoritism. Chapter 5, verse 21. Circle the word, no prejudice, no partiality. You are a worker in the church, people look up to you, even though you're young. There are different people in the church, they are all like your children. You shouldn't be being very friendly to a group of people that you associate with, but at the same time you draw distance or look down because of race, because of financial status. No, you shouldn't be doing this. You should treat everyone the same. Right? In our church, everyone is the children of God. We have to learn to be fair and to love everyone. Don't just be good to your friend. You have to talk to, I always tell the young people in my local church, don't just stick with your own group. Don't just hang out with your own friend in the church. You have to keep your eyes looking around to see who is in the church. Nobody is talking to them. They are lonely. They're standing in the corner. And you should grab them. You should go there and talk to them. Or introduce them to your group of friends. Let you take care of them. Especially you young people. You see a young truth seeker come in. Don't just all hiding in the corner discussing, who is that guy? Why did he come here? Is he a boyfriend or girlfriend or who? Just gossiping? No, don't do that, right? You see a truth seeker come in. Go to say hi to him, receive him, and talk to him or her, and bring them to your group. Or not even a young person, even see the old papa, old mama come in, go to talk to them, right? Say hi, smile to them, even though you don't speak the language sometimes. But try to be friendly. So no prejudice, no partiality. And then another characteristic of a worker, you have to be content in your life. Right? Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 6. Will you please read, Sister Rachel?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Chapter 6, verse 6, please. Yes. Thank you very much. Underline this verse, very powerful. How can you have great gain? Not to earn a lot of money only, not to do investment. Great gain is godliness plus contentment. If you fear God in your life, and then you have a very low desire about material things. If God give me, I'm happy. If God doesn't give me, I don't have it, I'm also very happy. Right? And that is a great gain. This means nothing can take away your joy. If you're only happy when you're living in a big house, then one day you have to live in a small house, you're not happy. Right? But Paul said, godliness, every day you focus on prayer, you're serving God, and you live a simple life, but you're happy. Whatever you eat, I'm happy. Wherever I live, I'm happy. Whatever computer I use, I'm happy. Right? This computer, you think it's a nice computer? How much is it? I buy an old computer, $180, you won't believe me. Right. I think old computer can use, right? So even though it's very old, very heavy, but I'm okay, I'm happy. No, even though it's heavy, but I can train, body training. Right. So I'm happy, even though it's old, it's cheap, if I lost it, if I drop it, I will not cry. So I tell myself, even though materially it's not very high standard, it's okay. Right. Happy. Happiness. Right. So be happy, be content, be godly. So this is a worker. Let's continue to see the worker of God. Also have to take care of his health. Chapter 5, verse 23. Okay, so Paul told Timothy to drink a little bit of wine, not to have fun, not to hang out, but rather because his stomach has some problem. So he tell him to use a little bit of wine. So some young people ask, can we drink wine? You know, Paul told Timothy to drink wine, no? So we should be drinking a lot too, right? If you want to interpret the Bible that way, I cannot do anything. Right? But the Bible tells us, why can you drink wine? If you can drink wine, what's the condition? Well, with your health, your stomach is no good, you drink a little bit, no problem. But if you love drinking it for the sake of drinking it, then you shouldn't be drinking it at all. If you don't like it, then you drink one zip. Doesn't hurt you if it's for your stomach, right? But if you really enjoy it, then don't drink. Yeah. There's a brother. He, during the barbecue, he feels so hot, he drinks some beer. At the beginning, I didn't say anything, right? Because once in a while, barbecue, you drink some beer. But look at him. He said, wow, one can, another 5 minutes. Oh, another can, and then another 5 minutes. Another can. Like three or four cans in a row.
And then brother come.
Why are you drinking so much? He said, wow, you know what? I really feel good when I drink it. And then I asked him, will you drink it when you're not barbecuing at all? He said, yeah, sometimes I go out and buy a beer to drink. I tell him, brother, you should stop. You should quit drinking at all. He said, why? I said, because you already like drinking. You enjoy it. And you drink more and more. And then, of course, you'll say, oh, beer is nothing, right? But after you say beer is nothing, maybe later you drink whiskey, you drink stronger alcohol. And then the more you drink, you get drunk. You may do wrong things. So if you like drinking, they should quit. If you don't like drinking, they don't have to quit, right? Because you don't have to drink anymore. So really, Paul and Timothy, take care of your health. So brother and sister, if you want to work for God, take care of your health. How many of you won't sleep every night and at least until it's 1 o'clock in the morning? Raise your hand. Don't look at others, be honest. How about 2 o'clock in the morning? You usually sleep around 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't look at others, just be honest right there. 3 o'clock in the morning? 4? Don't look at others, don't laugh. 5? Who work night shift? Don't sleep at all in the morning, tonight. Okay. So, taking care of your health, the basic thing is to sleep early. Sleep early. If you don't have a good health, good body, if you always sleep late, you know your body, your mechanism will get used to the schedule and you will not sleep early. And then because you sleep late, your body will suffer. Do you know what? All the flight attendants, all the night shift worker, they are paid higher. Do you know why? Do you know why they are paid higher? Because they pay a price of their health. After 3 years, 5 years, you're working as a flight attendant or you're working night shift, your health will deteriorate. So the boss know that they have to pay more to compensate them. But money cannot buy back your health. We have a brother who worked as a baker. You know baker? Baker earned good money, lots of hard work, but he had to wake up like 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. He told me he had to sleep at 6 o'clock in the evening. I said, why you sleep so early? How can you sleep so early? He said, no choice, I have to wake up at 2 in the morning. So after 3 years, he had been promoted to manager, he earned quite a good money, but his stomach is spoiled. He has ulcer. So you cannot reverse all the gastric juice. It's always heartburn. So really, you're still young, you may not feel the effect, but after a few years of prolonged sleeping late, your body will suffer. And when you already suffer, you cannot reverse to the early stage of health. So if you want to work for God, make sure you have a healthy body. This is very important. And don't let your eyes always stay in the computer. I know the screen are very high resolution nowadays. Your eyes stay with the computer most of the time. Right. But it really hurts your eyes. Plus the mobile phone. The bigger the screen, sometimes you use, I use bigger screen. Actually, the worst, because the bigger the screen, you use it more, and then it hurts your eyes even more. Smaller the screen, you just don't use it that much. Right? So that's it. So you have to take care of your health. The health is given by God. And then let's also read chapter 6, verse 6. I think we did that already. So our conclusion is verse 20. Next. Next. Once again, Paul told Timothy, be very careful about those who preach the wrong teaching, which sounds good, but actually it's wrong, it's empty talk. So keep yourself from those, and may the grace of God be with you. So this is the first encouragement by Paul to Timothy. It's very important. So if we can always, as a young worker, if you always read this book, it gives you a lot of encouragement. Okay, so let's pray in silence.
Crispy
仲係飲酒喎，
你沖啦。
唔係，我飲酒啊。